Scripture today is printed on the back of your worship leaflet. If you'd like to follow along or certainly use the Bible that you brought to the Lord's house today, Matthew, the fourth chapter, Matthew chapter 4, verses 17 through 25, and this is the New International Version. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." And as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew, and they were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. Large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across the Jordan followed him. I think we all like to hear good news and pass it on. For example, "I've got good news for you," a father said to his little boy. "God has just sent you a baby sister." And the little guy replied, "Thanks, Dad, but I think you better tell Mom right away." And we began with him in the Hannibal vicinity, great state of Missouri's grumpy, irascible, dubious, cynical, talented Mark Twain. He once wrote, "I've been reading the morning paper, well knowing that I shall find in it the usual depravities and baseness and hypocrisies that make up civilization and cause me to put in the rest of the day pleading for the condemnation of the human race." But the problem with that attitude arises from thinking that what the media, and this was called media, the newspapers, many of them in Mark Twain's time, and what the electronic media says to us, trying to convince us that that's the only news there is about people and about this world. So we do well to turn to the Bible today, as we usually do, and see that God's people have other goals and motivations, good ones that bring good things to where they live and work. And the reason, by the way, why we should get the scripture into our hearts and minds on a regular basis, this is part of us to know as we disciple ourselves as well as Christians, that there are other versions of truth and reality, not just what we read in the papers and not just what we hear and see in the electronics. And so we would also get the scripture into our hearts and minds regularly, not just on Sunday, but every day. And they say, as they used to say, take a heaping tablespoon of Bible every day. Now, I don't know how much a heaping tablespoon is. It's probably different for each one of us, but the Bible is the book that tells us that we are sacred creatures of the Most High who once fell away from God, but now are recovered to the Heavenly Father by grace, sacrifice, unconditional love. In other words, Christ-centered, cross-bought, forgiving, new-making, amazing grace. And the scripture describes sin, what it is, how it acts, and the monumental fact that Christ forgives completely as we continue to rely on him. In addition, the Bible declares that God's Holy Spirit lives inside of everyone who believes, guiding, enlightening, reminding, comforting, encouraging. Scripture highlights how important it is to be Jesus' people together in the church, spurring each other on to grow in God's astounding love. Scripture highlights how important it is to be Jesus' people together in the church. And the great and glorious good news is that we come here to celebrate this gospel, these glad tidings. Today, many, I suppose, will still be absorbed in bad news, or at least all the media's coverage of all the ill will and instability. Or we might have a loved one or a friend who is especially fond of a hobby of complaining daily. And although we love them, we do our duty to listen to them and to be there with goodwill. Disciples of Jesus, however, need to keep in mind that since God is very much real and very much at work in everybody's life, since the Lord is everywhere and working in the lives of everyone, there is good news amidst all the bad. Always there is good news. In the Lord, Scripture says, the Lord never fails us nor forsakes us. God never fails us or forsakes us. It may feel that way at times, but that's a good scripture to always keep close to our minds and hearts. He never fails us nor forsakes us. Football fans among us will remember Fran Tarkenton, the great quarterback of the Minnesota Vikings. And after his retirement, he wrote a book called Broken Patterns. Broken Patterns. The theme, of course, alludes to his great skill as a scrambling type of quarterback. He could throw the ball expertly, but in a split second, he could run with it too, scrambling on foot for more yardage. And it happens when the pattern of an offensive play is broken, either by fault of their own team or the skill of the defense. Well, that play, it crumbles, it falls apart, so players have to make the best of a fractured situation. And great athletes like Tarkenton could run forward even when the play was wrecked, using a makeshift pattern to gain ground. And if we take this idea from, of all places, a book about football, it can help us see what Matthew's gospel is wanting to say to us. God has a beautiful pattern laid out for you and me, but we often neglect it, ignore it, sometimes rebel against it. And we fracture it. We stumble over it. Heaven's pattern that looks very much like the Ten Commandments. The golden rule, do unto others as you would have others do unto you. The great commandment of our Lord's, love God first and foremost and love your neighbor as you love yourself. And God's pattern also includes John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. Micah 6:8, he has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and walk in humble fellowship with your God? The promises, of course, of grace and forgiveness and everlasting life. And we usually recognize heaven's great design when we're reminded of those priceless truths. Nevertheless, the Lord Jesus uses even broken patterns. He redeems them. When you redeem something, you take it off of the junk heap and renew it. Restore it, make it fit again for service. Christ Jesus does that very thing with broken human lives. Redemption, even for me and you. The Savior takes those broken situations, wounded people, torn patterns, and restores in them, sometimes in spite of them, new health and hope. There is solid hope in Christ for people who are lost and wandering and wavering and perhaps even wandering through their days. I like the story about a salesman from Western Kansas who was commissioned to start new accounts in Missouri. But as he drove across the Show Me State, he wasn't used to the highlands and the hills, all the rivers and the bluffs and winding roads, and he kept getting lost. Well, what's more, the salesman had a hard time pronouncing the name of some Missouri towns. And one day he was in a hurry, making up for lost time, on his way to a little town in mid-Missouri, not very far from Columbia. But what was the name of it? Al Vassy? Ox Vassy? Ovase? I like Ovase. Well, finally he was in the town, the name of which he could not pronounce, and he stopped at a small convenience store. With a Missouri state map in his hand, he went up to the cashier's counter, laid the map on the counter, pointed to the little town where they were, and he said to the young lady behind the register, "Now, miss, where are we now exactly? I want you please to pronounce the name of this place very carefully and very slowly, too, because I have a little bit of a hard time with your accent." Well, the girl gave him a mighty strange look before she carefully opened her mouth and answered, "K, C's, Gen, Row, Store." That doesn't have a lot to do with my message, but I just like that story. But here's really the point I'm trying to help make. There's no need for anybody to be lost, since God's Son has already come to earth and has redeemed all people, especially those who believe. In Matthew chapter 4, Jesus says, "Follow me," to Simon Peter and Andrew and James and John. Those first disciples quickly learned that Jesus wanted it all, head in and heart in. No middle of the road, halfway response would do. And when the master called people to be his own, he did not ask them to accept certain intellectual concepts, did not ask them to sign an agreement endorsing certain ideas. He simply said, "Follow me." To borrow from the old antique Uncle Sam army recruiting posters, you remember those? If you don't, kids, ask your grandparents, they'll remember. Uncle Sam was pointing and he said, "I want you," for the U.S. Army. Jesus says, "I want all of you, mind and heart, body and soul," says our Lord and Creator God, who has the right to ask for all of us in the first place. And later, after that first glorious Easter morning, when Jesus gives Simon Peter a kind of final exam, the same principle is used. The Matthew reviews Peter's loyalty, goes over the man's priorities, tests his commitment. And it was not a quiz on doctrine, not even one on Bible knowledge. It was just the same principle the Savior used when he called the fishermen on their very first day together. And it was a test of only three questions. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? That's what it all comes down to for each of us who gather together as we do with Jesus in our midst. The full, abundant life we desire, the ability and strength we need to live with integrity and to love one another in a life-changing way, all depend on our, from the bottom of our hearts, answer to Jesus' question, "Do you love me?" If we do, as we do, then we'll do what he asks and help him to mend broken patterns, help him heal broken people, and plant hope in broken hearts. Verse 24 says, "So his fame spread all across Syria, and they brought him all those who were sick and afflicted with various diseases and pains, or were oppressed by demons, epileptics, and paralytics, and he healed them." He healed them. In Jesus Christ and with the Holy Spirit, God goes around this whole world as it is, seeking to enter our lives and the lives of millions, potentially billions, the good, the bad, and the indifferent. And then the Lord desires to be our beacon and our guide, our health and our hope, our forgiveness, and our promise of everlasting life, all the time urging you and me to obey him. loving God and loving others, even people dealing with torn patterns, heavy hearts, faint faith. At the center of our joy, at the center of our sorrow, he comes in especially when invited. Because he lives, since he reigns forever at God's right hand, alive through all time and eternity, this is even more amazing good news. I like the little story about a man who visited a home where there were five children. This man was supposed to be some kind of a godfather to the children, and he was trying to identify them and get to know them a little bit on their level. So he decided to ask one of the little girls about her doll collection. And he says, "Which one is your favorite?" The child answered, "Promise you won't laugh at me when I tell you." The man promised not to laugh. Well, she went into the next room and came back with a doll that was the most tattered, dilapidated, worn-out doll he had ever seen, a real refugee from the trash heap. And most of her hair was missing, the nose was cracked, one arm was almost falling off. And the man did not laugh, but he couldn't cover his surprise, and he said to the little girl, "Why do you love this one the most?" And she answered, "Because this one needs it the most. If I didn't love her, nobody would." Jesus urges us to believe that God is like that, loving us when and where we need love the most. And will you help him to share that very thing? Then more beautiful patterns and beautiful souls will be found here and throughout the earth. Amen. Is it 580, Ruth and Gay?
Yes.
580, I'm just testing you. Number 580, there shall be showers of blessings, 1, 2, and 4. If there'd be any who would renew their faith in Jesus Christ, or perhaps for the first time make their declaration of faith in him before others in the presence of the gathered church, we will be happy to welcome you, to bless you in his name, and see you in to his house of faith, hope, and love. Let's stand now as we sing together.